It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy. Joining me in studio, what do we call you now? It's Saturday was your last game. What do we call you, DJ?
An all-conference tight end.
I'm so sorry I asked that question. He's an all-conference tight end. He was. Now we're looking for an identity for DJ like we had to do with all our other athletes that have been on this show.
I'm not ready to be a has-been yet.
Well, I mean, you are.
I know. I am. I am. But, you know, I'm just not ready. I'm not prepared for that label yet.
This
you know?
Is DJ Winter. He played his last football game. Such a sad time. I feel bad saying it. But his last football game on Saturday. DJ, how are you aside from that?
Good. I have a lot more time now. Now that football, big time commitment, you know, it was bittersweet, but that big time commitment is done, and I'm now a free agent, if you will.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Also joining us in studio, his name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how have you been over the last week?
Been pretty good, Christian, keeping very busy with school and everything, but yeah. Thanksgiving break's finally in sight, so I'm looking forward to that.
Are we doing a show next week?
I don't know, are we? You're the boss.
Make this decision. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, I sound like Midwest Mark right now.
Midwest Mark.
That's a Mark Albany's line. I like that. He's a heavy I like that guy. I don't know. We'll talk about it later maybe, but stick around. I have been busy. We filmed a ton over the last week. I mean,
by the way, that video turned out pretty well.
If you haven't already, head on over to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio. We're putting together more half athlete tries. We released a Half Athlete Tries Punting last week. It went really well. Ron Berg of I believe it's Moonlight. I forget his company's name. Ron Berg has put these videos together, and he has been tremendous. I can't afford to pay him anything, but he turned these videos around in like 2 days, and it was just amazing. So if you all have an event, or anyone listening has an event that they want documented, find Ron Berg and have him put together those videos, because he'll put the care and the time and the professionalism into doing them right and doing them well. So definitely get over there and do that. Before we get going with some sports talk today, we got to tell you that if you want to listen to all of our shows that we've ever done, you can go on to mastermedia.pou.edu and check them out there. You can also go in, if you don't like that, we're growing. We're still growing. We're up to about 80 subscribers over on our YouTube page, and we need that to continue to go up. So go over to Half Athlete Radio. Like I mentioned, type in Half Athlete Radio on YouTube and check it out there. If you want to call us and talk to us, we got a ton to talk about today. We got the Seahawks, a bunch of injuries with them. We got the Huskies lost. We have POU NCAA tournament stuff going on today. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, so please call us, 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332. Let's dive into it and talk a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks. They played like a week ago, it feels like, on Thursday Night Football. They were down in Arizona to play the Cardinals. Final score of that game, Seahawks 22, Cardinals 16. Score was a little bit closer than the game would indicate, I believe. The Seahawks held Adrian Peterson to 29 yards on 21 carries. So they definitely did their job with Carson Palmer being out for the Cardinals. If they shut down Adrian Peterson, it was pretty much going to be a win for them, and they did that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest story coming from Thursday night's game were the injuries. Just on the defensive side of the ball, Seahawks saw Jaron Reed, Frank Clark, Sheldon Richardson, Cam Chancellor all leave the field with injuries of varying severity. So different levels of injuries, but all of those guys left at one point with an injury. However, the most important injury that happened, Richard Sherman ruptured his Achilles. He will be out for the rest of the year, and that's a huge blow for the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. And a lot of people make the argument like, oh, it was Thursday night, so more injuries are bound to happen because these guys' bodies aren't being fully recovered by then. And I disagree with that statement. I do think that, you know, Thursday night doesn't give you the recovery you need, especially in the NFL. But, I mean, if you look at it, Cam Chancellor's was a stinger. That's going to happen in any game. Just based on the fact that he hits the way he does. Sherman said his Achilles was bound to rupture at some point this season because it was bothering him since the beginning of the year. And then an injury like Dwayne Brown, where his ankle just gets rolled up upon, that could happen anytime, anywhere, at any game, regardless of what day it's being played. But I do think that there is a point.
It's interesting that you say that as a former player. You know, if anyone in this room would understand that, more so about your body having to recover. It's interesting you take that angle on it. Seth, what do you have?
I don't like the Thursday games. I never really have, and I know Sherman and a lot of NFL players have been outspoken on how much they dislike having to play on Thursday night simply because of the lack of time it gives them to recover physically and emotionally, really, too, when you're playing in the NFL. And I'll agree with you, DJ. A couple of these injuries were absolutely flukes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of injuries in this game. You had people dropping seemingly every other play.
Mm-hmm.
It took 3.5 hours for this game to get over simply because they were having to stop it for injuries
mm-hmm.
every minute of the game.
Yeah, and I do think that you know some of the injuries can be probably attributed to the lack of rest. And like you said, a bunch of the players have been outspoken about how they don't like Thursday night football. So I think if the players don't like it, then you got to change something. I was talking with one of our football coaches about Thursday night football, and he said, you know, Thanksgiving, that's a tradition. So that, you know, that should stay. But the Thursday night games week in and week out, that's just, you know, a money play, and it's just a way to earn extra money. So, overall, if the players aren't liking it, you got to change something. And, you know, we'll see if the NFL goes ahead with that.
Call in and give us your thoughts. 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. Tell us what you think about Thursday Night Football. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's just, you know, a way to get an extra game a week on TV, which, you know, I get that the players don't like it, but who are you going to fault? Like, until... You know, extra money, like, take it into your own situations, your own lives. Like, if you have a chance to make extra money, are you going to make extra money?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, but,
like, okay, I get that they don't like it, and then I get that it's rough, and I get... But you just mentioned all the injuries that took place, DJ. You said this. All of them took place are games that are things that probably happen on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I mean, and I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying there, but... You know, the players, they aren't making any extra money based on these games.
I think they do, actually.
Oh, they do?
I think they do get some of the revenue share from Thursday night football games.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe we'll have to look that up. But, I mean, if they don't, then they're just putting their bodies out there for the league to make more money. They aren't making any money themselves.
I got to stop you guys real quick because we have a caller.
Oh,
his
perfect.
Name is Josh. He's all the way from Minnesota. Josh. You had some comments about Thursday night football. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
Well, I think the NFL will never get rid of it just because it makes so much money for them. But I think that to help the athletes maybe make it that when they have a Thursday night game that they have a bye week before so that the teams don't play the Sunday before.
That's fair. Keep going, Josh.
I'm also thinking maybe I've talked to some of my friends here who are big football fans and they're saying maybe moving it to Friday, but I disagree with them because, like, if you look at just an example, like the Washington Huskies, like they played the Friday game and even having like that, just one extra day, man, they just didn't look themselves. So I don't agree with my friends saying moving the Thursday night games to Friday and adding the extra day. I think the best option is having the teams have a bye week. Like not playing the Sunday before the Thursday game.
It's definitely an interesting idea. Josh, thank you so much for calling in, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, anytime.
I kind of like that idea, you know, giving them a bye before the Thursday night game. You know, the NFL spends so much time scheduling and figuring out that You know, I think they would be able to work that in somehow to put that by before the Thursday night game.
Yeah, it might be a little tougher to make the schedules, but the NFL can definitely pull that off. If they're committed to it, they can find a way to make that happen. I think that would be a great positive change. The players would probably love that,
mm-hmm.
having the extra half a week off.
Yeah, and I mean, you hire people specifically to schedule, and you're a multi-million dollar business. I'm sure you could get that done, you know, somehow.
We got to keep going with the injury talk from Thursday night's game. Russell Wilson had a little bit of an injury scare. Wilson took a helmet-to-helmet shot from Carlos Dansby, not a small man. And the referee decided, hey, Russell Wilson, you need to go over to the sideline, get your head looked at real quick before you can come back into this ball game. When the players get hurt, they have to visit an independent doctor. A little tent pops over them so that they can get treated with some privacy, and in fact, it's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Before the tent could even close, Russell Wilson pops out of the tent, says, I'm fine, grabs his helmet, and tries to get back onto the field. It was sketchy at best when you watch it because they shot it, first of all. So you saw it happen. It wasn't like it was a hidden thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of Russell Wilson, your team's star quarterback, blowing off concussion protocol. Do you guys have thoughts on that issue, that little sequence of events there? Or what are your thoughts on it?
First off, the hit should have been flagged. And I got a big-time problem with the hit not being flagged. We always talk about, especially in the NFL, protecting the quarterbacks. And just protecting defenseless players overall. And when he clearly led with his helmet and hit Russell Wilson right in the chin. So, I mean, that's my first problem with it. As far as the concussion protocol, I understand where Russell's coming from, you know, the competitive side of it. He wants to get back out there. And Aaron Gunther, the head athletic trainer here, said the test they do, minimum takes 10 minutes. So he would be... he would be out for, you know, that series, and there's a good chance that he would be out for the next series as well. So I understand the competitive side of it, but, you know, with everything that's come out with concussions, you got to go through that protocol and take all the precautions right there because, you know, as we've seen, you could be dealing with your life there.
Seth, you got thoughts on it?
Head injuries are nothing to mess around with. You absolutely have to go through that concussion protocol, not only because it's the rules and you're facing probably a fine and a penalty for not going through it, but DJ's right. Your life is at stake here. There's a future after football that you have to think about too. You're not always going to be playing in the NFL. You have a life and a family outside of the game that you have to think about.
Yeah, the season's far from over, and if Russell Wilson ends up with some sort of injury, head related, I guess, and you know,
those aren't easy to come back from. We saw Devontae Freeman. He just had his second one this year.
Right, and you know, if he has something head-related later in the season, I think that it's not far-fetched to circle back and go, okay, that time that he blew off concussion protocol.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, this might have something to do with it. So it's not – it was definitely not a good look. I mean, it caught my attention when I'm watching this Thursday night game that he just bounces and leaves from this thing that is mandatory and this thing that is for him, for his health. He just, no, yeah. I gotta go back onto the field. It's like, okay, dude, whatever you think.
I mean,
he probably could have stood to be out for a series.
No,
That's my assumption.
No, yeah.
He could probably miss this.
Totally. Besides the injuries, what did you guys think, you know, of the game per se? Like, how did the Hawks look in your eyes?
Go ahead, Seth. You got this one.
They were pretty good defensively. I mean, they only allowed 16 points for the whole game, and that last touchdown was, what, the last minute of the game?
Yeah,
in garbage time.
Yep.
When they're playing weak zone defense. Offensively, they looked kind of stale, stagnant at first, mm-hmm. but they got it going late first quarter, early second quarter.
Yeah.
So overall, I'd give defense probably A-, offense a solid B for the whole game.
Yeah. I mean,
out here grading things is Seth. Look at this. What a guy.
Well, we're so used to it with the education system.
I think that my biggest takeaway is I think Jimmy Graham had 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
They were both as easy as people have said that it would be. I mean, they just tossed him the football near the end zone, and he jumped up and caught. I mean, literally what people have been begging for the 2 years that Jimmy Graham has been a Seahawk happened on Thursday night, so that was fun to see. We had Russell Wilson's Houdini play that had everyone blowing
mesmerized.
Up on Twitter. I mean, Twitter was hectic after that play happened.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah,
dude,
totally.
This is a recess offense, like I've said in the past. I mean, it was a move that sixth graders have been doing for a long, 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 long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, Yeah, I mean, it was a good game for the Seahawks. They did what they should have done, which is nice to say after, you know, 2 weeks ago we watched them play the Redskins and they don't do what they should have done.
Yeah.
And then to have them do that this week was nice to see. DJ, you got a couple thoughts before we hit this break?
Yeah, like you were saying, I thought they did, you know, just enough to win. That last touchdown was kind of in garbage time. And you mentioned, Christian, that the game was not as close as the score indicated, which, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I thought Russell Wilson, you know, played good. He was 22 of 32 for 238 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was sacked 5 times. The loss of Dwayne Brown early in the game, that kind of hurt us in the rushing game and just, you know, overall as an offense. I do like the integration of Jimmy Graham, and we're seeing that week after week now where we're in the red zone. We're just either throwing him a fade or, you know, just giving him a nice seam ball and throwing it up to him and letting him do his thing. I really like what Daryl Bevel is doing. Russell Wilson, you know, second in the NFL now in passing yards. So I think, you know, we're seeing more and more that the Hawks are becoming more of a, you know, passing team first. And they're still trying to run the ball, which, you know, I give them props for. But we're slowly seeing that. They're slowly starting to weed out the rushing game a little bit and go more to a passing offense, which I think is good because early on, Russell Wilson had Marshawn Lynch behind him. And now he's kind of taking more control of the offense. So overall, good win.
All right, let's hit this break real quick because we will come back to the Seahawks later in the show. We'll kind of forecast what all these injuries mean and talk about their game on Monday night against the Atlanta Falcons. So, in the meantime, we're going to take a break. In the immediate future, we're going to come back and talk a little POU sports. We had a couple teams do battle in the NCAA tournament. We also had football play its final game of the year. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter, all-conference tight end on the PLU football team.
Every time.
That's right. I'm joined by PLU's half athletes, Christian Bond and Seth Bershing.
Yep.
They don't play sports anymore, but, you know, Christian writes about them, and Seth talks with us on the radio about them.
Yeah, Seth, do you write about them yet?
Not yet. No,
oh, you got to get on that. Yeah,
he's getting there. He's getting there. We're slowly working him in. If you like what you hear and want to listen to it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. Seth gave us the goal of 100 subscribers before Christmas.
Yes.
So that means a bonus show before Christmas. And if you want to help us achieve that goal, go to YouTube and subscribe to Half Athlete Radio. The goal is 100 subscribers, and like Christian was saying earlier, he just posted another Half Athlete Tries video on there. Football, I watch it. It's pretty funny.
Yep.
You know, we'll see his punting skills on there. But anyways, over the weekend, PLU, you know, had some important games. And we'll start off as kind of importance goes, our football game, you know, in retrospect,
wow,
didn't, you know, it didn't mean that much in the conference or anything like that, but, you know, it meant a lot to all the seniors that went out there and played. I myself had 2 touchdowns. That's a career high for a game for me. Kind of struggled early on, but, you know, we ended up getting the job done in the fourth quarter. We busted loose. Wyatt Shelley had a pick 6. And we ended up winning 40-24. I know, Christian, you were in attendance. I saw you up there sitting by my mom.
I did. I was
in the fam.
The Winter Nicholson clan.
Yeah,
I wasn't working.
That's
which
right.
Was weird. I was
that's
just
right.
Hanging out, man. Yeah.
That's right.
It was fun. It was fun to be in that kind of a role. I don't know which I like better, watching or working the POU football games. I really couldn't tell, which is kind of weird.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I couldn't fully commit to being a spectator like maybe the Nicholsons and the Winters can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was fun to be down there and see old friends and do all that stuff. So
yeah,
there's one point in the game that I want to talk about, and okay. when it happened, I couldn't wait to talk about it. So we're gonna do that.
Oh boy.
There was a moment in the third quarter where POU lines up near midfield. DJ goes all the way out wide, and little brother Brady's in that kind of slot position. And they're lined up on the right hash. They throw the ball to the left on the wide side. It's a screen to Brady, and Brady breaks it off for about 10, 15 yards. It's a pretty good pickup by the Lutes. All right, so they come back, and they flip it, right? Wide side of the field is now the right side of the field. DJ goes out wide again, and I notice that right away, and I'm like, oh, same play, right? Looks like the same play. You know, Jonah, my little brother, was there. He looked over. Oh, dude, they're going to do it again. And I was like, yeah, that would make sense. You know, they just busted off. Pretty good game. They'll do it again.
Yeah.
This time, ball is snapped, thrown over to Brady. Brady stops and pops. And at that time, I stood up so fast because I realized that Brady's going to throw this football. and Brady lines up to throw the football. And I look down the field, and DJ has a Lewis and Clark defender draped all
over me.
Over him. Right? I mean, it's an easy pass interference call near the goal line. The ball didn't necessarily get to the goal line.
No, it sure didn't. And I let Brady know after, too.
I'm sure you did. Let him know right now, because that's what I was going to ask you. Had you not been interfered with as the receiver, how bad would Brady have gotten it for throwing that ball a good 10 yards short?
Man, you know, he wouldn't have stopped hearing that. And I don't think he ever will stop hearing about that play all of his life. You know, we practiced it, I think, a total of two times because Brady was inactive on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I guess
diva.
Yeah.
Diva.
I know. Really the only time was the only time we practiced it was Thursday. And I mean, we ran it a couple times and he underthrew me both those times too.
Wow.
So the excuse he's going with is his knee was hurting, so he couldn't really push off and get that extra oomph on the ball. But, you know, that would have been pretty cool to have my brother throw me a touchdown pass in my last game.
I was losing it. I was like, they're really going to do this. And then Brady threw it, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. We called it Viking for the good old P.L. Vikings.
Oh, it's so cute.
But, that was a bummer. It didn't work out. We still got 15 yards off the thing because the guy, like you said, was draped all over me. But would have been an ultimate TCM if he would have been able to get me that ball.
I've seen TCM all over Instagram. What is TCM?
I'm not in the
loop on that one.
TCM is like a treasure chest memory.
Okay.
So like it's something, you know, on the holidays, your grandpa does this and it's really funny and you're going to remember it for the rest of your life. That's like a treasure chest memory that you'll always treasure.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool stuff. So like you said, POU football beats Lewis and Clark 40-24, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a good senior day for all for all in attendance.
And by the way, the Lutes have 7 all-conference players.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Pretty good. Seth, can you take us through what happened with POU volleyball? They were in the NCAA tournament. Let us know when it went down with volleyball, please.
Yeah, so they were in the NCAA tournament after having won the Northwest Conference. Their first round, they were up against, I believe it was number 4 ranked Trinity. They beat them in 4 games, 3-1. Then the next day, they played the number 1 ranked team, Colorado College, took them to 5 games. They really took them to the limit there, winning the first game 25-21, then losing 25-23, bouncing back 25-21, losing 21-25, and then in the deciding game, losing 15-8.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, I'm sure, for the POU volleyball team down there in Texas. They had a good showing for themselves. They really did. I mean, they had, you mentioned, Seth, number 4 team in the country followed by the number 1 team in the country. I don't know how you get a much tougher draw in a tournament like that to get. I mean, ultimately, the numbers might not mean that much. But still, they have that number next to them, and you kind of respect them or look at them a little bit differently than if they wouldn't have those numbers. So it was a tough draw, and POU played really well that weekend.
Yeah, and one interesting note, I was talking to Julia Hutchinson last night in class, and she mentioned that Trinity was kind of, you know, so they line up before the game, and Trinity was kind of cocky and, like, laughing kind of at them, and she actually heard them talking about playing Colorado College the next day. So Julia mentioned how sweet that win over the Trinity Tigers was.
That's a fun little tidbit right there. So good a very good season for POU volleyball that came to an end this weekend, but they had very good success this year. That was a terrible sentence.
Hey,
let's move on.
Special shout out too, real quick, to Mackenzie Harris, who was honorable mention All American. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that is actually a very big deal. Way to go, Mackenzie Harris. POU women's soccer, another team that was in the NCAA tournament over the weekend. They played Whittier in the round of 64 down there in Thousand Oaks, California. The Lutes slammed the Poets 4-1 on Saturday night. So an excellent showing to start a tournament. They scored 3 goals in the first 18 minutes of the NCAA tournament.
They got off to a great start.
I mean, bang, here we are.
Yep.
It was awesome. It was fun to watch. You know, POU gets into the round of 32 where they had to face the host team, California Lutheran, which is a tough draw to have a team at home in the NCAA tournament. California Lutheran was up 1-0 when Michaela Grady scored a goal that tied the game at one. Had to be the most clutch goal that she'd scored in her career, which to think about is wild because she's a two-time Northwest Conference Offensive Player of the Year. So to tie it up right there, of course it was Michaela Grady. It stayed that way until the end. They went into penalty
kicks. End.
Two overtimes, no one found a winner. It wins the penalty kicks. California Lutheran was able to net all 5 of their attempts, while POU only had made 4 of those, so that gave California Lutheran the win. And like I said, California Lutheran was at home. It sucked to see all of their home fans storm the field, which was kind of whatever.
Yeah.
Natalie Robinson was awesome all year long. I think she had like a 93% save percentage on the year. POU, including the loss to California Lutheran, had only let 5 goals in all season long. I mean, that's nuts.
That's pretty...
Natalie took it pretty hard. You could see it on the live stream. I mean, she fell to the ground as soon as that 5th one went in. It wasn't Natalie's fault. It was no one's fault in particular. Yeah. It was just the way that the game shook out. I think it's unfair that they don't have to do the penalty kicks until the NCAA tournament. They don't do them in conference play. It just ends in a 0-0 tie.
Yeah.
There's no experience in penalty kicks in that situation until it's that situation, which is... rough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a fair thing, I don't think. So, anyway, more success. POU women's soccer had a fantastic year, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, though, I mean, Cal Lu doesn't have PKs until the NCAA tournament either.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Natalie, I think it was the 3rd one for Cal Lu, was so close. It was either the 3rd or 4th one.
And 5th one, really.
Yeah, so close to saving them. And I mean, that could even make it to where she kind of took it even harder because she knew that those goals were so close to being saved. But, you know, I watched those PKs actually, and, you know, to be rooting for PLU, I don't think I've ever been that pumped for a soccer game. So that was really exciting. It was really cool to see the success that this senior class went out with, these last 2 years.
Absolutely. Seth, you good on this one?
I'm good. It was
all right. Let's hit break then if Seth is good. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more Seahawks talk. We'll try and break down what the injuries mean for the team and talk about their game on Monday night against the Atlanta Falcons. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's half athlete. Don't play sports anymore, but I talk about them on the radio. Do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. Physically, I'm just a guy. Man. Joining me in studio, DJ Winter, a tight end. I guess he's first team all conference tight end.
Yep.
Northwest Conference, and now he's just DJ. So that's who's in studio talking some sports with me today.
Christian, you're not a guy. You're a man.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm 40. also joining in studio, he's a co-host, a new co-host. He is getting acclimated to this sports talk, and he's doing very well. His name is Seth Bershing. If you want to listen to the show in its entirety, do it, massedmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can find every show we've ever done ever. That's massedmedia.pou.edu. Help us out with our YouTube page. Go over there, onto YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and subscribe to the page. We're trying to get up to 100 subscribers, and that would be so great if you all could help us out and do that. We're at about 80, so we're 20 shy. Help us out. We'd really appreciate it. If you want to call in and talk some more Seahawks football with us, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. We talked about, you know, kind of forecasting what these injuries mean for the Seahawks. DJ mentioned Dwayne Brown is out. Eddie Lacy's been going through some injuries. Russell Wilson dodged concussion protocol on Thursday night. I mean, offensively, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. What do all these injuries mean? Luke Jokel's out. That's another offensive lineman that's down. I mean, what's it mean for the offense?
You know, I'm not really sure until we get closer to game time. I think the status for Dwayne Brown is still uncertain at this point for this week. If we have him, I think the Hawks offense can produce enough points to where we can beat the Falcons and the defense can hold them. Because, I mean, to be quite frank, the Falcons haven't looked, you know, super good on offense this year. Julio Jones is going to be a problem, especially not having Sherman out there. So, I mean, I know we're just speaking offensively, but as a whole, it's really going to come down to if we can stop Julio Jones and that offense.
We'll get there. Seth, what do you think of the offensive injuries?
Well, I'm hopeful that with the week and a half between games that Dwayne Brown won't even miss a game. I think it's just a sprained ankle, right?
Yes, it is.
He may very well be back by then. And I believe Luke Jokel is also supposed to be back, perhaps not this week, but in the next few weeks. So hopefully they won't be out for too long and they can get some consistency on that offensive line.
Yo, you say a sprained ankle, though. It's for an offensive lineman in the NFL, it's the biggest human that are walking the face of the earth. Like, a sprained ankle to a 6'8", 340-pound man is a lot different than a sprained ankle for, you know, 5'11", 200-pound. I mean, it's a different injury for those big men. I think we would know more about what the offensive injuries mean if we knew what the offense was.
Fair enough.
Right? Because now we can kind of transition and talk about the defensive injuries. Richard Sherman, no more.
Yeah.
And that's a huge blow. I think the way that it affects the offense, though, is that all of a sudden 25 points aren't enough.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. I think that there's no point number that's enough now when they go ahead and go forward and face teams. It's all about, man, we got to hang a 40 whatever on this team. We got to hang 50 on this team because we don't know what the defense is going to be now.
The offense has to be better. I did a little digging, did some research.
Let's hear it.
In the Seahawks 9 games so far, they've scored on the opening possession only twice, and both times it was just a field goal. So in their 9 opening possessions, they've scored a grand total of 6 points. I think that has to change.
So it's about getting off to a good start.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree because you know, that kind of sets the tone right away. And if you can set that tone, especially at home where the Hawks have been, you know, so good, then that's gonna really help you going forward. As far as, you know, speaking defensively, I kind of got into saying it, but you got to stop Julio Jones, and then Tevin Coleman, he's still a good back sitting behind Freeman. That duo has proved to be gold in that backfield for Atlanta. So, you know, stopping Julio, stopping the run game, it's going to be a tough task this week. And I think if we have Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, Sheldon Richardson, those guys up front with getting pressure on Matt Ryan can cause some problems. And then in the back end, I think it'll be big if we can have Earl Thomas this week, which Pete Carroll was optimistic about him being back this week, but that's going to make a huge difference as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We can go ahead and talk about that Atlanta Falcons game now. They play on Monday night in Seattle, and when you look at these two teams just as a whole, you know, without looking at any players, the offensive matchup is ridiculous how close these two teams are. The Falcons are averaging, you know, 368 yards per game. The Seahawks are averaging 368.4 yards a game.
Oh. Ooh. So we're better.
We're better by a football. Literally a football. That's how much better this team is. They're doing it in different ways. The Seahawks are passing for more yards than the Falcons are, which is kind of, when you think about it, we've used the word narrative before. You think Seahawks defense and run the ball. Not true. Seahawks are throwing the ball better than they're running the ball. That's pretty obvious this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a different team. So let's talk about the matchup. DJ, you've already gotten into it. You talked about shutting down Julio Jones. How are they going to do it without Richard Sherman? What is the answer there? Because you mentioned Julio Jones. He's coming in with 715 receiving yards halfway through the season. I mean, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, you're going to have to kind of, you know, so if they go like a 3-by-1, for example, you're going to have to, you know, use another safety to be over there along with a cornerback. I don't know if Byron Maxwell, I know we just signed him. I don't know if he's going to play this week, even though he kind of knows the system, but you're going to have to put extra attention on him, which is, you know, is going to put all the other guys on an island. And really, if we can stop Julio, it's going to depend on if we can stop, you know, Taylor Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu, those guys, because those guys, if you shut down Julio, those guys can end up beating you. And so it'll just be a matter of if we can stop pretty much their whole wide receiving core in different ways, though.
Seth, you got thoughts on this?
I think if the Seahawks are going to have a chance at winning this game, they have to clean up the penalties. In the Arizona game, they basically gave Arizona their first touchdown, allowing 4 first downs on penalties on Arizona's first touchdown drive.
Yeah.
The Seahawks have 94 penalties in 9 games, which is 13 more than the next team has.
Are they leading the NFL too?
They have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just can't give away first downs, especially in the NFL, where, you know, you got to have good field position. And with our offense, the field position matters, because our offense has been subpar this year.
Well, I like what both of you have to bring to the table. I think that last week, even with the backup quarterback, Larry Fitzgerald had a pretty solid day for the Arizona
Cardinals.
And
Drew Stanton missed some throws that were open.
Right. So, you know, it's not necessarily, DJ, to your point, it's not necessarily about stopping one guy, but the Falcons receiving core, or the Falcons in general as a whole.
Yeah.
Being able to slow them down and keep them out of the end zone. I think that's where I would take it. I'll let them move 20-20. If they're kicking field goals all night long, the defense is doing its job.
Yeah.
I don't know that that'll be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to say, you know, the Falcons are going to score a little bit during this game.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, and Seth, you brought the penalties up. I mean, that's an excellent point. You can't just hand over yards. You can't take yards away from yourself.
They give away 100 yards a game on penalties.
Which is stupid.
It's a whole field's length.
It is dumb that is something that they do, and they've been known for it in the past. I mean, it's not a secret that the Seahawks are a little bit undisciplined when it comes to things like that. So it should be one of the more intriguing matchups for the Seahawks this year, especially at a time, you know, it's funny how quickly things change. You know, at the beginning of the year, I could think that we were probably talking about how no one's really that good. Right, we were talking, everyone has like a 2-2 record, and no one's, you know, set themselves apart. Now all of a sudden, what is the Seahawks record? What are they sitting at?
They are
6-3.
6-3, yes.
6-3 right now, and they're the last team in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
They're the sixth team in the playoffs.
Them and the Panthers.
So it's funny, now we're talking about a defense that was so good in the early part of the year, they lose a player or 3 or 4 or 5, and now we're talking about how strange and how hard it's going to be for them to keep teams out of the end zone.
Yeah.
It's why people follow sports. I mean, this is crazy.
Each game from here on out is going to be important, because the NFC is just so tight right now, mm-hmm. with all the standings. And maybe, you know, we see more spacing as the year goes on. But to keep pace, if you want a chance at winning the division, which the Hawks still do, they're only one game behind the Rams, you got to go 1-0 every week. And I think, you know, that's what the Hawks got to do this week. It sounds simple, you know, just go 1-0 every week, but it's just so hard in the National Football League.
Seth, you got some thoughts as we close this one out and get closer to a break?
Well, and the Falcons are right on the Seahawks' tail as far as NFC playoff standings. Yeah. So this is a game that at the end of the season, if the Seahawks lose, if they were to miss the playoffs or miss out on a tiebreaker with the Falcons as far as seeding in the playoffs, you're going to point to that game and say, we should have had that one.
Another very important game for the Seattle Seahawks and with all the changes that have happened to the Seahawks. Yeah, DJ, you want to add something to it?
I just want to get predictions.
Always with the prediction game. Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, DJ, go ahead then. Lead it off. What you got?
You're
going to play this game. You're going to get it. Let's go, DJ.
I'm going to say this one is like kind of like the Texans game where our defense really wasn't able to stop them either.
All of them have to be. I'm going to reiterate that. All of them have to be like 50 to 48 from here on out. Because I don't think the defense is going to be.
I don't know that it does.
Why?
When we play the Niners, you think that'll be like that?
Okay. One game. One game where it doesn't. The rest, to beat the Rams, they're going to have to hang 50 on them.
Maybe,
which is the most important win they could pick up. Go for it, Seth.
Maybe 31 to 30. Do you really think people are going to go from putting like 18 points a game to 50 on the Seahawks just with the loss of Sherman? Does Sherman make a 32-point per game difference?
Sherman, well, in a literal sense, no. But you got to understand, you know, it's not just Sherman who is now gone from this team. There are other players who are going to miss weeks from the injuries that happened on Thursday night. It's not a literal 32-point difference, but the ideal goal for the Seahawks offense should be to hang 50 points because 25 is no longer good enough for that defense.
I'm going to say 34-31 Hawks.
What was that one more time?
34-31 Hawks.
Okay.
On a last-second field goal.
Of course. Why not? Seth, what do you got for us? I hate this game.
I'll say 33-30 Seahawks, and I think they're going to get a fourth down stop on the last minute of the game to stop Atlanta from scoring.
Okay. I like
Give me the Falcons 31-18.
Yep. There we go.
Just because 18 is the weirdest score I could think of.
Why not?
And I don't trust the Seahawks offense.
That's a whole lot of field goals, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it's cool. That's what it's going to be. We got to hit a break, and when we come back, we will talk about the University of Washington Huskies and how all of the hypothetical garbage we talked about
is thrown out
is not worth our discussion then. It wasn't worth it now. So we'll talk about what happened when the Huskies played Stanford and what it all means, I guess, as we head towards the end of the year for the UW Huskies. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's Half Athlete. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on. Physically, I'm just a guy. Joining me in studio, he is a first-team all-conference tight end, and I'm only going to call him that today. I'm not going to give him that all year long. His name is DJ Winter, and also in studio, new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. If you want to go back and listen to all of the shows we have ever done over the last 2.5 years, you could do it at mastermedia.pou.edu. That's where episodes are in their full form. But if you like clips of the show better, if you're driving in your car and you're like, let me listen to something, listen to us. Go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, Bluetooth it up, listen to it in the car on your way to whatever you're going to go do. We're trying to get to 100 subscribers. I believe we're about 80 away, maybe a little more than 80. Or not 80, 20. We're only 20 away. So help
us
out.
We have 80.
We have 80. We're only 20 away. Words are tough sometimes. That's why we're sitting here practicing how to present those words. If you want to call us, you can do it at 253-535-7332. We can talk about how the Huskies lost to Stanford. Again, it's 253-535-7332. Let's get into it. Stanford beat Washington 30-22. Let's talk about everything that went on. DJ, go ahead and go with it. I only saw the last quarter of the game, so give us your thoughts on the Friday evening matchup between the two schools.
Well, I mean, after the first two drives, very, very pleased with how they were playing. They had two drives over 80 yards, producing 14 points. They just really marched right down the field. Then after that, the offense went stagnant for the rest of the game. I think Stanford really controlled the clock. And was able to get Washington's offense out of rhythm. And our defense just, you know, Bryce Love, that I think that was his Heisman moment right there, which what could make a strong case for him for getting that Heisman, because some of the runs he had were just unbelievable, and he was playing on a hobbled ankle all night long. Something I want to put to you guys going forward is, should Jake Browning be the starting quarterback of Washington next year?
Next year you're going to get into another hypothetical?
Yeah.
We're not going to sit here and talk about how the Dogs got beat. We're going to
No. They got beat. They got outplayed.
Who says he's even in school next year?
I'm assuming he would be. Why wouldn't he be?
He's not NFL ready.
Why not?
He's not good enough.
Why not?
Because
the eye test.
He doesn't possess the arm strength.
Okay.
To make the type of throws in the NFL that he needs to, and I think based on just that, he's never going to be NFL ready. His arm is
never. He's never going to get stronger than he is right now.
Yeah. Well, no. I feel like he's hit his peak. He had a great high school career, but. I think he's already on the downfall, in my opinion.
Ooh, I think that might be a slight overreaction to.
You're wrong. Where's my this wrong? Week. Wrong. People are questioning Jake Browning's ability, and that's okay, but it's the wrong way to go with the story. It's wrong because he doesn't have nearly as many weapons as he has to throw to.
Yeah, you could take that angle too.
I can be a way better player, depending on who's on the floor or on the field with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
think
the same thing for Jake Browning. When he can just throw a deep ball to John Ross down the sideline, and John Ross, all he has to do is run past someone because he can and he could, Jake Browning looks really good.
Yeah.
That away and Jake Browning looks like an average quarterback and people blame Jake Browning and say that he's not that good. No, it's the people around him. That's the situation for Jake Browning.
Yeah, but the same case could be made for he just hucks it up there and John Ross runs underneath it, or they run a simple screen pass and John Ross turns it into an 80-yard touchdown. So throwing a deep ball and just throwing screen passes, that's not that hard.
We're arguing the same thing, but with a different side.
Yes.
That's a great argument for me to say that, you know, Jake Browning's the same dude he was last year. Why are people getting mad at him? He had better targets.
It was just masked better last year. Is that fair?
That Jake Browning isn't that good?
Yeah, Jake Browning, in my opinion, has never been that good. He just had.
Okay. say something, please. Say some words.
I hate to look at one game and overreact to it. I mean, you can definitely make that case that he hasn't been a star quarterback by any means at his time at UW. He looked very good last year, though, but as Christian did mention, he also had more people to throw to. I don't think, looking at him, that he's going to ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think maybe a backup quarterback. I'm not even sure if he's going to get to that point. So I will agree with DJ that he's probably not that good.
Does Chris Peterson open up the competition next fall? Because I think it would be a great way to push Browning to, I don't know, try and become better. Because I don't, like I said,
because he's not
he
as
had,
is. What is
he had shoulder surgery this off season. So something is going up is happening with that arm again or that shoulder, because it was his throwing shoulder, and I think it's hampering him a lot.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. He's not a worse player. It's the targets around him. That's the way that I'm going to go about it.
And I'm fine with that. I guess the more and more I think about it, the more and more it just comes, I guess this argument is just going in a circle for me. He's just been average all of his time here. He's average but solid. He's a game manager. He makes the things happen that need to happen in order to win. And I guess, Christian, your point is...
This is some rude conversation about a dude who's lost, what, four or five times in his career?
I know, but, the standard has been raised at UW, and the standard is national championships. That's just what happens in sports. You do really good one year, and then the expectations just get raised that much more. Well, so, I don't know.
I think we have to be careful and not make it sound like this is a lost season. I mean, obviously they're not going to win a national championship this year, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good season. If they go 10-2, still win the Pac-12 championship game. That's still a good season.
Yeah, they still. I don't know if they're going to win even the Pac-12 North, because I see Stanford going and beating Cal, and then with if we beat the Cougars, which I think is going to happen, then, you know, Stanford wins the Pac-12 North. It's really, you got to have a lot of things happen, and a lot of things that don't have that high of a chance of happening, in my opinion.
It's a funny thing to talk about college football, because last week we're hypothetically setting up a situation where the Huskies make the top four college football playoff,
which happened. I mean, top five teams lost
last year, it feels like last year in September. We're talking about how the Huskies don't have anyone on their schedule until Stanford, and we completely blew over it last Wednesday, going, oh, this has to happen for them to make, you know, just giving the Stanford game as a win, and then Friday night they get punked out and beat.
They got
Stanford.
Throttled, in my opinion. That score was generous.
So, it's funny. The hypotheticals are fun to go ahead and talk about, but I think now we're at a point where we need to rein it back in and talk about the games for the Huskies, because that's all that really matters, especially when they get down to the Apple Cup, which could be the most interesting it's been in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I guess it just kind of gets down to the point where PLU football hit this year is when there's nothing on the line and you just got to play for pride at this point. So you got one game against Utah this weekend. They're a tough opponent. They always have been under Kyle Whittingham. And then you got Wazoo, who's ranked higher than you right now and could possibly be fighting for a top 10 ranking. They're not going to get in the playoff. No Pac-12 team is. But
oh, who said that?
I did.
When? Not just, last week.
Just now. No.
Just now?
Because even on the broadcast, everybody was like, Washington is the last hope for the Pac-12 to get in the playoff. So no Pac-12 team is going to get in. I see UW. I could very well see them going 1-1 these last 2 weeks. So I don't know.
And you got to listen to these clips of these shows when we put them on YouTube, DJ. Go back and hear who said that last.
You said it.
There you go.
I'll give,
look at that. Oh,
I'll give you credit
thanks.
Where credit is due.
That means a lot. Oh man, Seth, you got anything to add before we get out of here?
Pains me to say.
Well, why? Everything's been so rude.
I like it.
I'm gonna go take a nap at relaxation.
I like it when I'm right, man.
Well,
I was wrong.
He'll edit last week's show out like he did earlier in the year. I'm calling you out for that one.
I'll leave it.
We did talk a lot about Jake Browning today, and I don't think that's completely fair. I think we also have to complain a little bit about the defense. Their effort
was not very good.
I guess
they let Stanford run pass all over them, convert on third down over and over again.
I tweeted at you, DJ.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
I know? I was no, like, no, no. That was the best team in the in the country defensively.
And then my answer was, statistically, yes.
So bad. Oh, my
but
God.
Now 30, not anymore.
30 points.
I guess why I complained about Browning so much today was the last play where he it was 4th-and-20 and he decided to run it. Like, that you're a junior.
Yeah, that was JV.
You're a 3-year starter. I guess that's just kind of, it left a bad taste in my mouth and was the most prominent thing. So, you know, that was all emotion right there. I even tweeted about that too.
Oh, we got to get out of here. We're way over our time.
By the way, if you want to follow me, it's DJ Winter 87 on Twitter.
Seth, here's your chance. Go ahead.
Follow me on Twitter at Seth Bershing.
Are you sure that's right?
That is right.
Are you sure?
That is.
Sure I'm double checking my Twitter
double
handle.
Right, real right, quick right before now. We get out of here, because I think it's underscore Seth Bershing.
Ooh, I didn't even get my own Twitter handle right.
Mine is still DJ Winter 87, so go follow me.
You know you already follow me, so I don't have to pimp my own Twitter handle.
Okay.
Anyway, we got to get out of here. Stay tuned into Laser all week long. Check out What's the Big Deal on Tuesday nights here on Laser. It starts at 9 p.m., so as you're getting ready to go to bed, just tune in to Dylan Foreman and Sarah Cornell-Meyer and Zach Goff and listen to what they have to say. Also, if you love football, you have to tune in to H&C Sports on Friday mornings at 10:30 a.m. It's Hina Alou and Carson Barnett talking a lot of football, so you got to tune in and check that out. We got to get out of here. I got to go to class. So for Seth Bershing and DJ Winter, my name is Christian Bond. We are out of here. See ya.